Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit. And like always, He speaks from the heart. The Lord gives us His insights when He speaks His word to us in the heart. His words, they bless us. That's where our faith comes from. That's where our richest faith comes from. When we believe Him, when we believe what He said, we'll always, 100% of the time, find the truth, because the Lord our God will not lie. Everything He said is true. Now, our logic is shaped by the world. And sometimes we esteem God like we do men, authority figures that we understand. God is the chief authority figure. But because of the way He is, He's love. He does things right. He's very, 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 very generous in all of His ways because He loves us. And men are not used to that kind of love being over them. Men are used to tyrants. They are used to proud men. Most authority figures in the earth, though they may have somewhat of a love for us or concern, they're more like kings, like the kings that just want you to do what they want you to do. And some kings did love people, like David. But many kings, and even most kings, they would conquer other kingdoms that were smaller so that theirs would be stronger. And they didn't have that kind of love that God has towards us all. Now, when the Lord told Israel to drive out the Canaanites was like a cancer. They were hosts of evil. And their works would have consumed the world. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. They became a lustful cancer. And it would have consumed the world. And the Lord would have had it flooded again, or judge it again, or burn it up. And He wouldn't have been able to come back. There would not have been a people that He could have, a lineage that He could have worked through. So, sin is a cancer, and God has to get rid of it. Even if people won't turn from their sin, they will have to be destroyed. But that's not God's best. But if the Lord can find people that will follow Him and trust Him, their influence will help other people follow Him. Now, Jesus said that the harvest is white, it's ready to be picked. When wheat is ready to pick, there are white buds in the stem. When cotton is ready to be picked, you know, you can see the white of the cotton plant. You can see the cotton as a head in the plant. When corn is ready to be picked, the ears are in the shuck. So now, since the time Jesus left till now, the harvest has always been ready to pick. But God never has enough laborers. His laborers were few. Now we have more laborers. A lot of people that went to hell would not have gone if there was enough laborers. Now, the process of salvation, when people hear the word, then the word forms and it grows in their heart, and they have faith for salvation. But the more people you have living the life of God, the better, the more vision people will have, and the more people will actually get saved because they have more vision. The fewer people you have getting saved, the less people you have getting saved. And even those that do get saved, their inspiration will be low unless they have a visual of God's word. So the more people you have living the life of God, the more people are going to understand it, and the more people are going to walk in it, and they're going to understand God better, and they won't see him as the tyrant that Satan depicts him as. Now, Satan wants people, for years, Israel had a problem trusting God because they saw God in the light of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was their chief authority figure for 400 years. Or almost 400 years. They saw a man over them that didn't care about them. So it was hard for them to believe that God cared about them. But if Moses told them what to do, they were used to being obedient. They could operate in faith but not trust. Trust comes from communion. Trust comes from relating to God, having a dialogue with God, taking him at his word, living by faith, getting to know him. Then you trust him. Trust is another form of faith. It's the noun form of faith. Faith is a verb. Trust is a noun. Faith looks at God right now, currently. Trust looks at the Lord in future tense from a past tense position. You trust him because he was good in the past, and you expect him to be good in the future, and you obey what he say now. Trust is activated by your faith. But faith looks to the God, looks to the Lord currently. You know, I love broadcasts because if you hear something like that sound confusing, you can rewind it and hear it again. Now, the way I'm revealing it is the way the Lord revealed it to me. So trust looks to the Lord in the towards the future from a past position. Faith looks at God currently. Faith is always in the present. It currently looks at God, continually looking at God in the present tense. So with this in mind, you're going to have to take God at his word. And as you learn who he is as a person, you will learn to trust him too. And God is good, folks. His mercy endures forever. He's very kind towards us. He loves us. And we go forward as we take him at his word. Now, the Lord has good things to say and talk about. And you have to trust him. You have to take him at his word. And it'll be real in your life. Now, as we get to know him, we'll stop seeing him like we do others. And we get to know the Lord for who he is. Now, the word of God tells us who he is. In fact, if you read enough of God's word, you'll have a picture in your heart of who God is like, of what God is like. The same way that David related to God, and God told David what to do and how to do things and how to solve problems, you'll understand him that way in your life. When Jesus went out and spent time with the Father, and then when people asked him hard questions, he always answered them just like the Father would answer him. So you can learn who God is by the word of God if you can believe it. But you can't hold God to negative opinions. You can't believe him in a negative light and get to know him too. You have to release the deception of this world. See, deception is the trust of darkness. If you allow the enemy to explain to you what God is like, he's not going to tell you the truth. And he'll have you living in a stalemate, like most people do. Many Christians are living in a stalemate. They don't enjoy the fullness of God's joy, because they don't walk in the fullness of God's love. They love people when they love them. They love people when it's convenient. They love people if they love them. And they can't way we love others shapes the way we love God. The way we love others is the way we love God. The way we love God is the way we love man. And the more we understand him and look to him and learn him, the more we love him for who he is. And the more we take him at his word, the more we believe him, the more we know him. Paul said he let all those old things go and he sought God that he may know him in Philippians. He counted the old things as dung. Nobody wants dung around. But he let all that go. He let the Pharisee persuasion go. He let the satanic power that the Pharisees lusted after, he let that go. And he knew he was righteous by his faith, not by his works. See, your focus is also precious to you. We talk about how important focus is. Faith looks to God. So if you look to God, you'll have greater insight, greater vision, greater expectations. You're going to see him in a greater way. You're going to see him in the light of love, not like the harsh kings and presidents of this world. Because people like to rule with power and dominion. But when you love people, you're more like a father or a parent or even a coach. See, the best coaches love their team. The best parents love their children. The best leaders love their pupil. And the best kings love their country, their countrymen. They care about the welfare of every single one of them. And there were good kings. And what would happen when there was an outstandingly good king that loved God and feared God? There was a king in the Dark Ages. He tried to promote education. And he was doing a lot of good. And then the Vikings came upon his kingdom and troubled it. The enemy will always try to stop a light movement from getting stronger. And all they wanted was the people's goods. They pillaged the town, killed people, murdered people, raped women, killed the men. Now, we have a Christian nation, which is a blessing to the world if it stays a Christian nation. There are half the people in here really love God. And you can judge it by the elections in part. Half the people trying to vote on things that are of God, and half of them try to vote on things that are really satanic, like abortion. And the only reason people want abortion is so that they can hide their sin. And the reason people don't want abortion is because it's evil. People would rather kill children and hide and save face among men than just do what's right in the first place. See, everything God tells us to do is right. He's not going to tell you something wrong that's going to cripple your life, something that you're going to be ashamed of one day. But Satan will. Everything you do that's of Satan, you're going to have shame in your life. You're going to have guilt in your life because you had pride in your life. See, pride looks within. It's what you approve. Pride, you know, if I was in pride, it'll be what I approve, what I think is right, what I think is best. Faith looks to God. God is smarter than me. He knows what he's doing, and I don't always know what I'm doing, and I know I don't always know what I'm doing. But if I look to God, I can learn his ways. I live with better judgment, better character, better love. So my life will also be better because I live by faith. And the reason we're righteous is because we believe God and take him at his word. True Christians depend on God's righteousness, the blood of Jesus Christ. They believe in what Jesus did to make them righteous. That's why they're righteous. They received the grace of God and they took God at his word. That's why they're righteous, because they believed it. Jesus died for all of us. He didn't leave anybody out. The blood of Jesus washed away your sins from current time. But until you believe it, it doesn't apply to you. And if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. So we want our sins washed away so that we can go to heaven. So we don't want to go and sin some more after we've been washed in the blood. And we definitely don't want to walk in unforgiveness, because we need God to forgive us of all the rotten things that we've done and thought about and agreed with. So, and the things we omitted to do, the times we should have done something and didn't. But now, we get to walk in newness of life at Jesus' expense. And there was a high cost. Now, I want to serve God. I can't pay him back, but I can serve him. That's the least I can do, is live right and live to serve man. And that's what I want to do. I'd rather do that than anything else. Whatever I do in this life, no matter how far I go, no matter how wonderful things become, I want to always do it God's way. And the Holy Spirit will help me define what God's way is. The Word of God defines what God's way is. And the Holy Spirit guides me into all truth and helps me understand what my part is. The things that I'm not sure about, or the things that I'm not skilled at, he's skilled at. And he can guide me in all truth. And then I can do it God's way. And that's what I want. God is good, folks. Very good. He's not like Pharaoh. He's not like other kings. He's not like presidents that we know. He's not like the presidents of the past. He's not like the kings and chancellors of the past. He's not like Hitler. He's not like Stalin. He's not even like good presidents and good kings. He's like God. And there are good kings and presidents and chancellors, but God is perfect. And whatever he give you to do, if you can trust it, you're in wisdom. You are living inside of his wisdom. And that wisdom will do great things in you and in your life. All because you took God at his word and heard about it. And heard him out. Sometimes the Lord will tell me something, and it whets my appetite. I want more of that. I want more. I want to understand some more things. So I ponder what he told me, try to get a good grip on it. Then I ask him other questions so I can learn it in a greater way and see if he'll tell me some more of the same thing. Because God is always generous when he hands out knowledge. I said, Lord, I want to know. I want to know more about that. You know, one of the latest things that he showed me, you know, Jesus said that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I had already been thinking about how some people gravitate to power and some people gravitate to love. Well, those who, and I've noticed, and I've watched, people who walk in love, they learn more from God. They understand God faster. They understand God better. They ask better questions. They're trying to learn to do right. They have a drive to learn who God is. They desire to know him. They're not lazy. They're like the Bereans. When people tell them something new, they go search the scriptures. They're faithful with the scriptures. They're faithful with what God give them in their heart. They're faithful with what God give them through other people who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they're satisfied in him. They have contentment. A lot of people don't have contentment. And And content, godliness with contentment is great gain. Because whatever he's given you, you will enjoy it. You won't have a bunch of trophies laying around collecting dust. You'll have things that you'll be taking a bite out of life. You'll be, you know, some people have nice cars and they lock them up in their garage. They're just glad they got a trophy. But they're scared to go out and drive it because they don't want it to get wrecked. And whatever I own, it's got to roll. I'm not going to leave a car for somebody else to enjoy when I can be enjoying it. I don't need a trophy. And I hear a lot of good people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to drive it on the weekend. I'm going to leave it in. I'm driving mine every day. Because life is to be enjoyed. You better have fun now. And doing the work of God is fun. You know, living a life that's, you know, I like everything I have to be neat and clean and ready to go. I like to keep my vehicles in good shape. I happen to be a mechanic, so I do it. But I don't like driving an old raggedy car to work and then have a nice one at home. And then I got to pay for it. And then when I finish paying for it, something happened to me, somebody else going to drive it. Or the bank might end up with it. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. To have things and can't enjoy it. You know, that's part of the curse. When you read about the curse in Deuteronomy chapter, I think it's 28, verses 1 through 14 or 15 is the good side. And then the rest of the chapter is the bad side. And I don't want that. I don't want no hog pen misery. When the prodigal son left to play with the world, he ended up in the hog pen. I don't desire any form of hog pen misery. I'm going to live in the Father's house. I want to live like God lives. God is my Father now, and I want to live like Him. I want to obey Him. I want to be like Him in character. I want to be kind like He's kind. And I want to love like He loves. I want to believe and do all the greater works like He does. I want to live to please Him. I don't need any hog pen misery in my life. I want to do everything God's way. And God is good. He's always been good to me. And I want to be good to everybody. None of us have to receive the evil works of hog pen misery and the deception of Satan. We can all enjoy the current blessings of God. Remember, faith is always in the current position. It's always now. We believe God now, and we'll receive the best of what His Word says we can have. And this is another bonus. The way we receive God's Word is the way it's measured back to us, according to Scripture. Now, if we also learn to measure God's Word in a greater way. From glory to glory. And see, the bonus is, if you believe God for something today, and then time happens. Now you learn to stay in faith. You learn not to. You learn to be more mature about it. You learn to be more patient with the process. See, patience is a part of faith too. It's a waiting faith. You learn to be at peace. You learn skills. And then whenever you are after, when it happens, you keep looking to the Lord. You learn to see God doing greater things in your life. God is now bigger in your eyes. God is now real to you. You have relationship going. You took Him at His word. You saw the end result. See, finished faith is knowledge. And you learn to be wise. You learn all kind of principles as you endeavor to believe God. And you know, one man told me that when he first finished Rhema, he wanted to get better at believing God, and he had a job. So he was in sales, so he had to believe God to make a sale to make a living. So he would go on his route, and he'd find a church, and he'd go over there and find a pastor and give him a, he started off with a dollar or $10. He'd give him whatever he had, he'd give that to that pastor, believing God for greater things. And then he'd make sales. Then it went up. Instead of a dollar, he'd give him $10. And he was a preacher too. But he was learning to use his faith. I was blessed to do a radio broadcast with him. And we was at the house doing the broadcast, and my wife came in and heard the tail end of it, and it blessed her. You start where you are. So time went on, he made more money. Then he give even more money. You know, $20 or $50, even up to $100. And God was steadily blessing his business. So when you do that, when we work the word of God, we become a candidate to learn who God is. You're going to learn more about God in faith than in doubt. You're not going to learn very much in doubt. And what you do learn in the ways of doubt will kill you. Because doubt is a disabler, but faith is a definer. And you can alter the course of your life by your faith. You can speak to whatever you need to speak to in your life and change it. You can change the facts in the ground. If you don't like your personality, if you don't feel like you're bold enough or courageous enough or kind enough or loving enough, you can speak it. You can say that I am courageous. I love being bold. I will be bold. You can make a confession of faith. You can't see it now. You may not even know how to produce it. But God does. And you get to know God by reaching forth. You can proclaim the things you desire in your life and redefine your life by your faith and the way you want to be. You know, young children, they like to dress up like Superman. They want to be a rescuer. They want to have the courage and the wisdom that they see in the superheroes. And so that's a role model, and that's what they want to be. Well, you can proclaim that and be that. But whatever characteristic you would love to have and don't have at the time, you can speak it. If you feel like you've done something cowardly and you feel ashamed and you don't want to ever be cowardly again, you may have let something slip or not said something when you could have, you didn't make the difference you desired to make. With the next time, what I'm trying to say is, with God, everything can be made new. If there's something that you want to change in your life, you can. If you want to be more courageous, you can be more. You can confess it. You can pray for it. You can even ask others to pray for it. Apostle Paul, he asked people to pray that he would be bold in his speech, because he was always in confrontations. Because the Jews would always try to get in the way when a move of God was happening. Satan would always inspire people to, he would incite people to curse the work of Paul. So he prayed for boldness. There are times in life, where we are now is not where we're going to end up. And faith can redefine our lives according to the heart of God. We can be more like him. God is not afraid of anything. And if you've had a problem with fear all your life, you can say that I fear not. You can command your emotions the way you want them to be. You can command your life the way you want it to go. And, you know, just like Pastor told me some years back, when you study the word, demons fall off. The persuasion of demons fall off your life. And you can speak the courage of God in your life, and you can change your will at your will. You can command your route. You can all the character developments that you want. You can confess it. You can believe it, and God will help you attain it. See, faith is unlimited. You can believe God for whatever you want to believe him for. You can study the word in that area and receive it in your heart and speak it. And your life will adapt. And it will even surprise you. But the only people that will do this are those who walk in love. And God loves everybody. His word will always work. And we follow God from the point we learn from him. If you have a problem with pride, you can speak that I hate pride. If you have a problem with lust, you can say that you hate lust and you love the love of God. It won't happen just because you say it, but saying it is involved with working it. And you put a demand on your future. You put a demand on the way you feel. You put a demand on your character. And that's of God. Whatever you don't like, you don't have to stay that way. And you can eat, and then you can ask the Lord for wisdom and he'll show you the things that'll make the difference. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. You can ask him anything you want. He'll be happy to show you the way. But the word of God is your standard. Be faithful with it. And when the Lord speaks, be faithful with what he reveals. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you truly. And Jesus is our Lord.